Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We take a closer look, and I included verse 11 and 12 because it's easier to understand what Jesus was saying. Okay, if you take those first two verses that Pastor Perry preached on last week. Verse 13, then Jesus left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. So you can see from verse 11 and 12, he's addressing the situation with the Pharisees who were asking him for a sign, okay? He's not talking about the one loaf of bread they have. And it's easy to see from the context. But he's warning the disciples of the false teaching of the Pharisees and the Herodians. But somehow, they think Jesus is talking about bread, and that's why I kind of chuckled when I was reading it, because from the context, it's pretty obvious he's not talking about the bread, okay? Bob Utley says, believers must be constantly on guard against self-righteous legalism and institutionalism, yeast. This was usually a symbol of corruption, as it is in this text. The disciples' problem was the same as the Pharisees. That is spiritual dullness or blindness. And don't we all suffer from that at one time or another? They must constantly be on guard against it. The Herods represented the opposite problem, the worldliness, the status quo at any cost. And don't we have both? We have legalism on one side, and on the other hand, we have hedonism, or secular humanism. Everything is good. Just live the way you want. God is love, right? And Jesus was addressing the same situation, all right? And what Jesus is telling them is, listen to me. Focus on me. And I've shared this before. I know, guys, you probably haven't experienced this with your wives, but I don't always catch every word that Robin tells me. And when she realizes that I haven't been listening, not a good place to be, all right? And that's when she does this. Rick, focus, focus. And that's what Jesus is saying to the disciples today. Focus, okay? Focus on Jesus. But question, where does most false teaching come from? No. Charles Spurgeon, it comes from Satan ultimately. You're right, okay? But heresies in the Christian church come never from the city missionary, never from the faithful pastor, never from the intense evangelist, but always from the gentlemen at ease who take no actual part in our holy war. Those literary fops who criticize—I love that literary fops, okay—who criticize religion in reviews and have nothing else to do except to put their hands to their heads and press whimsies out of their brows. These are the men that trouble us, and that's where the heresies come. Especially in the last 50 years, they come from the seminaries, from the theologians who teach there, who've never gone and preached in a jail, who've never sung in a care center, okay? That's where the heresies come from, all right? And you know what I'm talking about, right, Pastor? Some of the weird stuff they say in seminaries, all right? Do we have false teaching today? Yes. And it's very subtle. And people don't even realize it. Example, I teach a seminary class for second career people. And we study early church history to see what the heresies were, because all the heresies we have today, they're not new. They're just reworked, okay? But a couple of them in recent months have heard sermons in churches where Jesus' name is not mentioned. And they'll say, wow, that was pretty interesting, but they didn't mention Jesus' name. And I'm talking about, one of them was a case where one of my friends received a doctoral degree, and the speaker, who was a pastor, didn't mention Jesus' name in a 20, 30-minute sermon, all right? Red flags, brothers and sisters, okay? Why don't they mention Jesus' name? Because it's not politically correct. You'll alienate people if you use Jesus' name. All right? Do you see the false teaching? That didn't come from people in the pew, okay? It didn't come from working pastors in the jails and in the streets, okay? It came from somebody sitting in a classroom contemplating his navel, all right? That's where it came from, all right? And they don't mention Jesus' name. And this is what Jesus has to say about it in Matthew 10. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What's that say about political correctness? It's out the window, right? It's out the window. But what's frightening is these theologians who are afraid to mention Jesus' name. And what's he say here? It's going to be their condemnation. Right. Verse 16, they discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Talk about being dull, right? Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Focus, right? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? Now remember, the apostles were firsthand witnesses to where he fed 5,000 men, and then he just recently fed 4,000 men. And they're still worried about having enough bread, okay? And by the way, you know, they had the 7 baskets left over after this last one. What did they do if they didn't have it in the boat? They gave it away, right? They gave away the excess, all right? Do we doubt God's providence? Oh, we love to worry, don't we? We just love to worry. This church here has been a lesson for me and Robin and Pastor Perry on God's providence. And we got a new bookkeeper about 5 years ago. She's in North Dakota. Love her to death. And she's a very good bookkeeper, okay? But she doesn't realize kind of how we work here. So there's a couple times when she first started where I'd get these emails and she was panicky. And she was saying, like, 3 months from now, we're going to be broke, Pastor. You got to talk to the congregation. You got to have a special, you remember, Ricky? You got to have a special offering, okay? A special appeal, all right? And the council members are all smiling because they remember. And I just replied on the email and I said, well, I guess we just need to pray. Well, she didn't necessarily like that, but guess what? The Lord provided. Amen? But it took, I'll tell you this, it took me and the leadership here, it didn't come overnight, okay? It didn't come overnight. Verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? You know, it's easy to point the fingers at the disciples and say, man, these guys are dumb. When are they going to get it, right? But are we any better? No. What came to my mind, though, as I was studying this week, is how we choose to remember the bad things and not the many good things God does for us. You know? And that's why I have this glass over here. And I know it's over half full, but pretend it's half full or half empty. If you look at this, some people would say it's half full. And others would say it's half empty. And unfortunately, in the history of the church is usually has a scarcity mentality. And they'll say, well, it's half empty, all right? But in truth, it's half full, right? Charles Spurgeon writes, brothers and sisters, we remember much that we ought to forget, and we forget much that we ought to remember. Down the stream of memory floats trash from the city of Sodom, and we diligently gather it. But down the same stream descends costly timber from Lebanon, and we suffer it to drift by us. Our sieve holds the chaff and rejects the corn. It ought not to be so. Let us look back upon the whole of our past lives at this hour with a careful, leisurely glance and see whether there is not enough in our diaries to condemn our doubts and bury our cares, or at least to shut up our anxieties in a cage made of golden bars of past mercy and fastened with jeweled bolts of gratitude. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us, and let us glory in what the Lord is going to do and magnify His name for His mercy, which is yet to be revealed. Amen. And the point is this, brothers and sisters. For Christians, it's not about the glass being half empty or half full, okay? Because in Jesus Christ, it's overflowing, right? It's overflowing. When we have Jesus Christ, we have it all, right?
Yes.
We have it all. And nothing can overcome us, right? And I want to talk also about just the daily providences, because I was preaching in Tent City yesterday, and I told the guys, mind you, they're isolated from family and friends, okay? So when I said, blessings God has given us that we have to remember, our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, our family, every breath we have, aside from the blessing of Jesus Christ, okay? And they were with me on that because they're isolated from all of that, okay? But then I got down to basics. How about drinking water? How about air conditioning? They laughed when I said that, okay? Because they come into the where we can worship and there's air, but they're sleeping out in the tents, okay? But don't we take these little things for granted? And we think about one little stupid thing, and it makes us look at the cup like it's half empty, right? For example, this past week, aside from my other responsibilities, I've been working on the Camino de Fe retreat weekend, and we're working out logistics for over 100 people to spend 3 days in a retreat, okay? So I was with Pastor Beto up at La Sagrada Familia. It's going to be a bilingual weekend. And Robin was with me, and they got this giant pot in the driveway. And I swear it must be made of concrete, you know, or full of concrete, all right? So I'm backing out, and it feels like I'm jumping up over a curb, okay? Well, we get to the restaurant where we're going to have lunch with Pastor Beto and his wife, and we look, and the front of my truck is all dented in on the front side. And I go, wow. You know, I thought I was just going over a curb, you know. And I could have let that ruin my whole day and ruin my whole week, all right? But Robin and I, we didn't even really think about it. We had too much stuff going on, all right? Too much kingdom stuff going on, all right? So you could either look at it like the, you know, you could let something like that just tear you down, or you just move on, okay? And that happens to all of us, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want to have us all take a minute. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I want you just to remember the good things that God has given you. And you can start with the air conditioning in here, okay? I remember when I preached in here and it was 100 degrees, okay? But just think of the blessings we have and how His grace has been poured upon us and how it's overflowing. And let that just wash away the minimal problems we have. And now, brothers and sisters, I ask you, is the glass half empty or half full? Amen.